Good morning. Good morning. Nice, the first time. Good job. I am Todd Fargo. I sit on session. I am the elder for youth, and I also sit on the worship and music committee as a way of introduction. And I just have a quick announcement. At a special meeting yesterday morning, the session approved a covenant agreement and terms of call for Reverend Philip B. Davis Sr. to serve as our pastor during Pastor Larry's and Reverend Eileen's leaves of absence. The session is pleased to have a minister of such accomplishment available to us at a time of such need. I think we have to see the hand of God at work here. Reverend Davis is a native of New York City in Brooklyn, a graduate of Hunter College of the City University of New York and Union Theological Seminary of New York. He is ordained in the National Baptist tradition in 1997. Since 2003, he has served both PCUSA and the American Baptist churches in the Rochester, New York area. He enjoys jazz music and the outdoors, and he's the parent to two college-age sons. Reverend Davis will be in the church office on Wednesday and Thursday mornings, so he can have the support of the staff. He will be leading Sunday morning worship, performing sacraments and visitations as required, and will participate in other church activities as he can. I'm sure you understand that he is coming to us at a difficult time, and he will be feeling his way as much as we are. I hope you will join me in praying for Reverend Davis as he acclimates to his new environment, and that we will all treat him with compassion during his stay with us. We will have time in the second hour next Sunday, March 1st, to meet Reverend Davis in the social hall. Adult Ed will begin 10 minutes later that week to give those that want to begin the Lenten program the time to greet him beforehand. Please join myself and the rest of the session in welcoming Reverend Davis into the family that is Webster Presbyterian Church. You may also want to consider wearing your name tags more frequently as he meets people. Can we open the church, the door in the back, please? Let us prepare in silence a moment. please join me in the call to worship. We hear your challenge, Lord. We hear your call. We hear you, Holy One, but we are afraid. What will we find there? We are assembled in this sanctuary, this holy place, away from the distractions of the world. Lord God, we know you are a lover of justice. Come, regain your holy vision. Come, receive wisdom and strength. Let us ascend to the holy mountain.
Let us worship God.
The first hymn is an insert.
You on the stairs this time. And I want you to face this way. Thank you. Awesome. I'm glad to see you bring your Bibles. The story that I'm going to tell you is in the Bible today. Yep. It's in Matthew 14. So when you go home, if you want to find it in your Bibles, you can find it on Matthew 14. Okay. I'm glad that the Shine kids were greeters this morning. That was wonderful. Thank you for greeting. All right, I taught this lesson 2 weeks ago to the first and second graders. So if you're a first or second grader and you're here today, you might want to help me up here. How many of you like to pretend? You like to pretend things? Oh, yeah, some do, some are not into that. Well, we're going to pretend a story today. And this is our boat. And this is our water. And this is our hill. Okay? So I'm going to need some volunteers. I need a Jesus. And I need an Andrew. And I need a Peter. I need some waves. And you all can help by blowing, because you're going to be my big storm. All right? Would you come on up, Josie? And Ellie, come on up. You are my first and graders. And Foster, come on up. Awesome. Can you leave the puppies down here? That's fine. Okay. So we have to set up. This water is our Sea of Galilee, right? Okay, and so we need to spread out. And this is the hill. So we're going to start the sea pretty much right after the hill. Awesome. And now we're going to put more of the sea. Foster, can you take those two ends? Thanks for helping, Georgia. Okay. There's more of the Sea of Galilee. Can you put it down, Georgia? Awesome. Okay, and Ellie, can you help you and Josie pick up the boat? And can you put it up here on the sea? It's a little bit heavy, but I know you can handle it. Okay, put it right down there on the sea. Awesome. Okay, Peter, who's going to play Peter? You're here? Oh, Peter. Thanks. Peter, would you get in the boat on cue? Okay, who would like to be Jesus? Okay, you can be Jesus, Josie. You're going to be right up here. You're going to go up on the hill. All right? And you can help by being water. Can you shake that side? And Ellie, will you shake this side? You're going to pick up the corners. And when I tell you to make the storm, you have to shake. And boys and girls, your job is to blow. Practice. You are the big storm. Okay, Peter's already got the boat going. George is in there helping him. All right, I'm sure there were some girl fishermen. All right, this story is the story of Jesus walking on the water. You heard it before? Awesome, Toby. Okay, so Jesus was preaching, and he had just fed the 5,000. And so, but it was the end of the day, and he told everybody to go home, and he went up on the mountain. So, Jesus, you need to be up on the mountain, and you're going to pray. Okay, so you can be praying. Awesome. Good job. Okay, so Jesus is praying. Peter and Andrew were out in the boat, and they were told to go across the Sea of Galilee. So they're crossing, but now a big storm comes up. So make the storm. Okay. George is having fun. Yep, okay. Awesome. Okay, thanks. Okay, Jesus sees the storm. He comes on down, and he walks on the water. Stop right there. Okay, now he says, don't be afraid. It is I. Okay, now, Peter, you have to say, Jesus, is that you? Say, yes.
Yes.
Then you say, if it's you, Jesus, let me come to you.
If you, Jesus, let me come to you.
So you say, come.
Come.
Okay. So now, Peter's going to try to walk across, but don't get all the way, okay? That's fine. You help. Okay. So now, Peter, look around. Look up there. Now, Peter, show me that you're afraid. Are you afraid? No? Awesome. Well, I'm glad you're not afraid. But guess what happens, Peter? When you get afraid and you walk, you have to sink down in the water. Can you sink? Sink down in the water. Awesome. And you can say, help me, Jesus.
Help me, Jesus.
So take his arm and lift him back up out of the water. Awesome.
Now, both of you go get into the boat. Okay, Jesus, you're going to get in the boat too. And so is Jordan. Awesome. Okay. So now the storm is gone. This story teaches us about faith. Say faith. Faith means to believe and trust. Can you say faith means to believe and trust? Okay, so we can believe in Jesus and we can trust that he's going to help us. Just like he helped Peter when Peter came out into the water. Awesome. Let's have a little prayer and then we'll go to Sunday school. So everybody repeat after me. Dear Savior God, please help all of us to have faith in you.
Please help all of us to have faith in you.
We love you.
We trust you.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Now you can stand up and go that way.
Baptism, each Christian is called to ministry in Christ's name. God calls some from the midst of congregations to fulfill particular functions so that the whole people of God may flourish. In ordination, the church sets apart those who have been called by the church to serve as deacons, ruling elders, and ministers of the word and sacrament through prayer and the laying on of hands. At this time, I want to call to the front of the sanctuary, Amy Vallone. Where are you, Amy? Where's Amy? Okay.
She's back.
Oh, come on. Amy Vallone, Laura Oliver, Dawn Wiley, and Carol Saylor. What happened? Okay, so now I have questions for you. They come from the Constitution of the PCU, Presbyterian Church USA, and you will answer I will or we do as appropriate. Do you trust in Jesus Christ your Savior and acknowledge him Lord of all and head of the church and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? We do. Can you say it so they can hear you? Okay, good, good. Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ and the church universal and God's word to you? Okay, a little more. Okay, like you mean it. Come on. Okay. All right, thank you. Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God?
We will.
Will you fulfill your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and continually be guided by our confessions? Okay, let them hear you.
We will.
Okay. Thank you. Will you be governed by the church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit?
We will.
Will you, in your own life, seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world?
We will.
Good. Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church?
We
pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love.
We will.
Okay, good. Okay, now this question is for Carol. Will you be a faithful ruling elder watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in councils of the church, and in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Amen. Now for the deacons. Will you be a faithful deacon, teaching charity, urging concern, and directing the people's help to help to the friendless and to those in need? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Okay, thank you. Now I have questions for the congregation. Okay, you know what the drill is by now, right? I'm sorry, I'm good. Do we, the members of the church, accept Amy Vallone, Laura Oliver, Dawn Wally, and Carol Saylor as ruling elders or deacons chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ?
We do.
Fantastic. You see that? Yeah. Do we agree to pray for them, to encourage them, to respect their decisions, and to follow as they guide us serving Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church? Fantastic. Now, I'd like to invite the remaining elders and deacons to come forward for the laying on of hands. If you are an elder or a deacon, please come forward now. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you more than anything for your Son, Jesus Christ. And today we especially thank you for Amy, Laura, Dawn, and Carol, who have chosen to serve you and to support this ministry. As Amy, Laura, Dawn, and Carol take up this additional role of leadership for your church, we pray that your Holy Spirit may give them a renewed joy and assurance of the knowledge that their sins are forgiven. We pray that you may refresh them from on high, that you will equip and empower them for the ongoing service to this church. May they always worship you with sincerity and wholeness of heart. And we ask that you would deepen in all of us an experience of your grace. Make us more aware of the task you have for us within your church, and especially within the world beyond this church. May we all be aware of the gifts you have given to each. Strengthen our life together. May your peace be in our midst. It's in Jesus' name, and for his sake we all pray together. Amen. I ask now that you go into the world in peace. Have courage, hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, and help the suffering. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. I ask now that we all welcome them, our deacons and our elder, into this ministry. Let us welcome them. Our worship continues now, singing this hymn. That singing the hymn, Shine, Jesus, Shine. It's on the screen. Shine, Jesus, Shine.
This morning's Old Testament lesson is Exodus chapter 24, verses 12 through 18. I'll be reading out of the Purak Bible, which is page 62.
The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. New Testament lesson is 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 16 through 21, page 987. "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God."
Our lesson this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9, and I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, is it good for us to be here? If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God all said together, Amen. Now, I'm not sure what's gotten into me, but I am inclined again to open with one of those preacher jokes. Now, trust me when I say that I take my time behind this sacred desk very seriously. And my ordinary practice is to just dive right into the sermon. But this morning, I'm inclined to attempt a bit of humor with you. It goes like this. A preacher, a carpenter, and a farmer go deer hunting. They spot a deer, and they all fire their rifles at the same time. The deer is struck. But because they all fired at the same time, they're not sure whose bullet hit the deer. So they asked the park ranger to come help them try to sort this out. The park ranger comes over and examines the deer and says clearly it was the preacher's shot that hit the deer. They said, well, how do you know? He says, well, look, the bullet went in one ear and out the other. Like I said, I don't know what's gotten into me. Earlier this week, as the bulletin was being prepared, I shared with Georgia Hubbard that one of the most difficult things I do in the course of the week is to try to find a title for a sermon. She went ahead and told me that I'm not the first preacher to tell her that. So on Wednesday, I said, Georgia, the sermon title is What God Can Do. That's what the sermon title was on Wednesday. On Thursday, I walked back into the office and I said, Georgia, the title now is Instead. And then by Friday morning, I decided to walk back in the office. Well, no, by Friday, I was working by myself and I decided that What God Can Do was a much better thought than Instead, because I'm sure some of you are sitting there even right now looking at the bulletin and thinking to yourselves, instead of what? But I hope that you will see why for a moment I thought Instead made a good topic. And then I hope that by the end of our time this morning, your trust in what God can do will have been reinforced. The liturgical calendar has it that today is Transfiguration Sunday. And that churches all around the world following the Revised Common Lectionary are considering the transfiguration of Jesus as it's told in the 17th chapter of Matthew. Now, a lot of time could be spent on the history and the theology in this lesson, but this morning I'm going to spare you the details of all of that, except to make two things clear about the reading. The first thing I want you to note is that it says that Jesus took with him Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his face had shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. The second thing I want you to make note of is that God, speaking from a cloud, says, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." In your time, I'd like you to slowly read our lesson about the transfiguration of Jesus. And see if you can put yourself on that mountain with Peter, James, John, and Jesus. Try and be a witness to the face of Jesus shining like the sun and his clothes dazzling white. Try to listen in on Jesus talking with Moses and Elijah and see what you might do. Put yourself on that mountain and see what you find out. But above all else, one point that's important to make is that God says, "This is my Son. Listen to him." There's a lot going on. God says of Jesus, "This is my Son. Listen to him." So again, today is Transfiguration Sunday, and this morning, instead of saying Jesus was transfigured, I want to say Jesus was transformed. And this morning, I want to kind of plant my sermonic stake, if you will, in the word transformed. So if there's a word for today, it's transformed. And the first thing I want to remind you is that God is in the transformation business. You can forget everything else I say, but just remember that God is in the transformation business. And I'll even go as far as to confess that that's probably a better title than the two I previously mentioned, but I want you to note that God is in the transformation business. You got a situation, God is in the transformation business. God transforms caterpillars into butterflies. God transforms the green grass a brown cow eats and turns it into white milk. God transforms small seedlings into mighty oaks. God transforms nebulae into galaxies. And I'm just struck with awe and wonder when I consider the world that God has made and continues to transform. Even as we sit here, God is transforming the air we breathe. God is doing some metabolic magic and attaching that air to blood cells that travel through our organs and go out and nourish our bodies. Right now, this very moment, God is finding ways to love you. But more than anything, God is in the transformation business. Now, I've been around long enough to know that I can say something and somebody's going to say something else. Somebody out there is probably thinking, you know, Reverend Phil, God is in the salvation business. And I'd say, yes, you're right. God is in the salvation business. You know, there's some theological stickler out there thinking, Reverend Phil, God is in the redemption business. And I'll say, yeah, that's right. God is indeed in the redemption business. But I'll allow me this morning just one time to say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that transformed a soul like mine. Now, I don't know about each of you, but I reached a point in my life where I became certain that there were a few habits of mind, thought and mind, that I needed to transform. Some of the anxieties and fears that I held were not helpful, and they needed to be replaced with something else. Now, I have to first tell you that I did indeed have great parents. The older I get, the clearer I am about, you know, how good my parents were. But the older I get, for all the love and support my parents gave me, I have to admit that I came from a normal, dysfunctional family. They were not too far gone, but far enough gone that I managed to develop some irrational anxieties and fears. You see, I needed to be transformed, and I committed myself to prayer and reflection. And the result of that prayer and reflection on my road to transformation was the wisdom to go get some earthly help by way of a therapist. Now, one of my friends, she was not too far gone, but one of my friends introduced me to her therapist, a man by the name of Paige Cook. Paige then did what therapists do. He prodded me, he listened to me for a few months. And then at what seemed to be exactly the right time, he told me that when those anxieties and fears showed up, he said, instead, I could have a more life-affirming thought. I think I just said something, so I'm going to try to repeat it again for clarity. Instead of having an anxious thought, choose a more life-affirming thought. It takes practice, and sometimes the practice itself isn't enough. But God is ready and waiting to help us with our transformation. The Bible says in 1 Peter, cast your anxieties on him because he cares about you. There is a song that says, I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he will kindly help me. He loves me and cares for his own. So if there is something you need to transfigure or transform, you don't have to do it alone. Have a talk with Jesus, and God will dispatch earthly angels to your aid. And you'll then see just what God can do. So I want to close now with two passages from the Bible. The first is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Romans, where he says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And then finally, I leave you with this. It's a paraphrase of the 17th and 18th verses of the third chapter of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. And this paraphrase was written by a man named Eugene Peterson. And his paraphrase of Paul's words are this: "So we are transfigured much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him." I want to read that one more time. "So we are transfigured much like the Messiah, our lives gradually become brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him." I would ask now that the church might say, amen. Amen. Thank you, thank you. We continue our worship now with the presentation of our gifts, tithes, and offerings. And I'm still learning the ropes here, so what else happens? Okay, the ushers will come forward.
desire to give, multiply these offerings and the blessings they represent. Guide the disbursement of them according to your will. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
At this time, I want to invite anyone with any joys or concerns that they might have to share to share them. Any joys or concerns?
George's mother had a massive stroke yesterday, and the doctors have told her and her brother and sister that she won't survive. So George spent the night at Hildebrand Hospice Center. So keep the family in your prayers, and once there's more information, she'll probably send something out on the prayer chain.
This is what was on the green card, but it's hard to read. I went to visit my children a week ago, and my son picked me up at the airport, and during the night, he got some chest pain. Then he felt more chest pain. So they ran to the hospital, and he'd had a heart attack. And while he was there, they discovered he's diabetic. So I asked for prayers for David to be able to change how he lives so that he can recover.
Amen. Pray that I change how I live too. Are there others?
I have a joy that I'd like to share. Last week, I was able to spend an entire vacation week with my daughter. We don't get enough time to spend together usually, but this was a whole week of just she and I, and it's such a blessing to be able to do that, and it's memories. It's just memories.
Amen. Are there others?
So my father just has a procedure on March 5th. He has bladder cancer and just asked for prayers. They think they can just remove it. He's 91 years old, though, so just prayers for him to get through that.
I just want to give you guys an update on Josh. I haven't gotten the update for this morning. We're living day to day. But he is talking. He's more alert. He is supposed to be discharged on Tuesday, which is a huge blessing. We got word that the genetic analysis sample that we gave wasn't rich enough in DNA to do the full genetic analysis. And we had another vial, so we sent that. So prayers that they have enough DNA so we can figure out the makeup of this tumor, and hopefully there's a treatment.
And I have another one. My oldest grandson is flying to Taiwan for a semester abroad. And I hope he doesn't meet the virus in Taiwan. That's my prayer that Nathan will be safe. Thank you.
I have a joy. My daughter, Reverend Katie Schwind Williams, is being installed as permanent pastor today. It's on my heart, and I pray for her ministry and blessings as she meets that congregation and takes on it as a permanent position.
This is where?
Boise, Idaho.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's not here.
Okay.
yesterday we celebrated the 102-year life of, I'm not going to say it, Virginia Brush, here in the memorial, or in the chapel. And the flowers by the pulpit there are from that service, and if anyone would like to take some, you're welcome to do that.
Dave Parker here. Last weekend, my wife and I celebrated 70 years of marriage with our family.
Is that okay? Yeah, I feel like I need to just mention something that one of my 95-year-old friends said to me. She said one of her visits to her doctor, the doctor said, listen, you need to eat right, you need to exercise, and you need to socialize. And she said to me that the doctor said socialize like a half dozen times. You know, socialize, socialize, socialize. So one of the things that I'm really impressed with here at this church is the number of different fellowships that you have going on. So if you're not a part of one of those, I want to encourage you right now to become a part of one of those fellowships, because you may be worried, because the emotional components of our lives can compensate for some of the maybe not so great things that we do in the course of our day-to-day lives. So again, I just want to, put an emphasis on, really being a part of these various ministries that you have here at the church. Let's bow our heads for a brief moment of prayer. Most gracious, eternal, and everlasting God, we pause now for this moment to turn our attention to you, seeking to connect with you, heart to heart, mind to mind, and spirit to spirit. We seek you now, dear Lord, to enter our lives, and that when we join with you, that you may indeed grant us the peace that passes all understanding. But as we sit, dear God, with our heads bowed and our hearts humbled, we simply want to say thank you. Thank you for accomplishments of children. Thank you for family time with children. Thank you, dear God, for discharges from hospitals. Thank you, dear Lord, for lives lived 102 years in service of you, dear God. There are many, many things we could thank you for, but more than anything, dear God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus the Christ, who came and lived among us and taught us how to live. We thank you, dear God, for your Son, Jesus, who paid a pathway into eternity for each and every one of us, the one who redeems us, the one who saves us, the one who transforms us. So we thank you, dear God. But even as we come to you with thanks and praise for all that you've done, we also, dear God, need to pray for those who are suffering in the wake of bereavement, those who are looking at serious health challenges. We ask, dear God, that you would send your wisdom, but more than anything, dear God, send your comfort to be the bridge over troubled waters and walks with us hand in hand through the challenges that we might face. We, in some cases, are waiting for a transition from time to the eternity to occur. We are waiting for healing. But we know, dear God, that above all things, we need to wait upon you. So we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to pray and to call your name and to express our trust in you. It's in Jesus' name we say this and all other prayers. It's for his sake. The people of God said, Amen. The disciples came to Jesus and they said, Master, how shall we pray? Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, when you pray, pray in this manner. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Continue our worship now, singing the hymn number 476. Let us rise and blend our voices. In the bulletin. That's what it says. It says, please read all the announcements in the bulletin. And then underline, it says, read bulletin. I'm just telling you what's going on. Please make special note that on 7 p.m. on Wednesday in the chapel will be the Ash Wednesday service. And that there's no Wednesday night supper this week. Those will resume in March. Now I'm going to step aside now.
As Reverend Davis mentioned, this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday already. So Lent starts this Wednesday. And sometimes people think about giving up something for Lent. Well, another option is to take on something new. And here's an option. Beginning next week and through Palm Sunday, a study entitled The Walk, Five Essentials of the Christian Life, will be offered after this service in the social room. And next week after the welcoming for Reverend Davis. The study is based on a program by Adam Hamilton, a well-known Methodist minister and author. The Adult Education Committee is encouraging our members to take on something extra in Lent this year by coming to this program. And books are not required, but they are available in Narthex if you'd like to pick one up. You can see Carol Walk. So we hope you'll come next week and as many of the Sundays as you can. It's not required to come every Sunday. Come when you can. The first lesson next week is on worship and prayer. And now Jay has a little promotional video that will show you a little bit what this looks like. Thank you.
It's been proven that a daily brisk walk can help you live a healthier life. Yet often it takes a health crisis for us to finally begin to get healthy. It's also true that a daily decision to walk with Jesus will help deepen our spiritual life. And yet it often takes a moral failure or some other life change to awaken us to the simple awareness that we're not where we want to be. Hi, I'm Adam Hamilton, and in my new book and Bible study experience, The Walk, we explore five essential spiritual practices that are aimed at helping us grow deeper in our walk with God. When practiced daily, these help us to know who God is, to experience His presence in our lives, to experience more vitality in the Christian life, and to be more effective in living out our faith in the world. I'd like to invite you to join me as we're exploring these five essential practices, disciplines, or exercises to grow in the Christian life. These practices are not rocket science, nor are they only for the spiritual masters. They're all taught in Scripture, modeled by Jesus, and practiced by ordinary Christians over the last 2,000 years. To complement the book, we've created a 6-week Bible study experience that includes a leader's guide, a DVD with sessions on each practice, and resources for the entire church. Join me as we explore these five essential spiritual practices so that we can together find a deeper, more fulfilling walk with Christ.
That indeed looks to be a rich experience. Now let us stand for the benediction. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Philippi. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the church said, Amen.
Amen.